I'm trying to win a vacation house. It's a beauty, tucked in the mountains of Colorado and furnished with all sorts of dream stuff. Sure, the house is a million-dollar prize that would prove taxing, in the Uncle Sam sense of that word. I want it anyway. But just because I want the Colorado dream house doesn't mean that I'll win it, even if my name is the first drawn from the hopper. That's because contests aren't always decided by fate alone. Sometimes the grand prize winner must be grand in every sense of that word. Take the current house contest. If an obsessed entrant, say me, clicks on a button labeled Rules on the contest website, she will find the standard stuff about no liability on the part of the promoter and the promoter's right to use the winner's image for all eternity as part of a space-visible corn maze. But then there's this curious clause. Main sponsor reserves the right to conduct a background check on any potential prize winner, and reserves the right in its sole discretion to disqualify any person based on such background check if main sponsor determines in its sole discretion that awarding the prize to such potential prize winner might reflect negatively on main sponsor or any of the participating product sponsors. Astute listeners will alert upon the double use of the phrase sole discretion. That's where a lawyer's ears certainly perk up. The contest clause in lay terms means that the sponsors want to check your rap sheet and make certain that your corn maze appropriate before naming you the new owner of the dream house. If you or any of your family members robbed a bank or pillaged a village in the last, oh, say, 1,500 years, don't count your dream homes before they unlatch. Whether you measure up is left to the sponsor's sole discretion. Sole discretion packs a lot of punch. Sure, it's not always the abracadabra of contract law, and if a sponsor's decision to reject a contestant is based on fraud or some other wrongdoing, courts will side with a contest's initial winner-turned-loser. But otherwise, judges allow plenty of wiggle room when those running the contest decide where and when to release the balloon-carrying prize clowns. We need look no further than the television program Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and the planetary phenomenon that is NASCAR for interpretive assistance. Here's what courts have decided in the past. Game show contestants must accept the producer's question-answer combinations, even when those combinations aren't worded as precisely as they could be. And race car drivers must accept the judgment of the one who holds the ultimate checkered flag, all because the game show and race car contestants agreed in advance to the powerful authority of phrases like sole discretion and final determination. Which brings me to my second obsession of late, the Bravo television program Top Chef, where culinary contestants battle it out by cooking under extremely unnerving circumstances. At least one contestant faces elimination each week, banishment from the kitchen island based on the judgment of expert taste testers. Or so it would seem. If you watch closely, at the end of the program, for just a few seconds, the screen reads, "Winning and elimination decisions were made by the judges in consultation with the producers. Some elimination decisions were discussed with Bravo." Presentation counts, it seems, and not only on the plate. Chefs whose star quality is confined entirely to the kitchen meet the fillet of sole discretion. I'm Amy Guida.